Terry Schmidt, director of LCMS School Ministry, with a prayer for Lutheran schools.
O Christ, our teacher, you invite your faithful people to make disciples in your name. Today we thank you for the gift of Lutheran schools, where the message of your life, death, and resurrection is proclaimed each day, where a Christian community is experienced, where knowledge is centered on and informed by God's holy word, and where we worship you each day. Increase our zeal for ensuring that all children and families who desire this opportunity may benefit from a high-quality Lutheran education, and that all of our schools grow in their ability to nurture the very soul of our nation. This we ask in the name of our risen Savior Jesus. Amen.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod School Ministry assists, equips, and uplifts school educators, district staff, education executives, and congregational leaders so that through them, children may be equipped as disciples of Jesus Christ. Learn more at lcms.org/school ministry. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday. We're nearing the end of the broadcast week. It is time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're going to play 4 soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. Your opportunity by voting to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play the 4 soundbites, and then you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Phone call voters get to vote first, 1-877-623-6943. You can vote by sending us an email. We'll get it right here in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org. A tweet is a good way to vote as well. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Or you can vote at our Facebook fan page where we have left space for you to do so, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite number 1 this week comes from Joy Pullman. Here she is answering the question, how is this anti-fascist group, Antifa, different from the civil rights movement?
The obvious one is nonviolence. The civil rights movement was functioning within America's promise to all of its people of equality, of equal justice for all, and was saying, look, you're not living up to this promise. And they nonviolently, in accord with our laws and peacefully, protested until society said, look, the rest of America said, look, you're right. You know, what's happening is wrong. We're going to make changes through our normal legal processes to handle this injustice. And that's not happening with the immolations of statues and public monuments around the country in the name of anti-racism. You know, vandalism is a crime for a reason. You know, those monuments, either on public or private property, belong to someone, you know, either the people of whatever city or a private person. And the way that we solve questions in America is not through marching around punching at things. Well, I guess that's not the way we should solve things. We solve it through public discourse. We come together, we discuss it, we vote, and that's how we solve these questions. So if people think that there's something wrong with these statues, they're insulting, they should be taken down, they need to go through the normal processes and not just march around acting like little petty tyrants who have the right to decide for everyone else in their community what should be on public display.
That is soundbite number 1, Joy Pullman. How is Antifa different from the civil rights movement? If you'd like to vote for it, give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. You can vote by giving us a call at that number or sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Facebook fan page is a good place to vote, facebook.com/issuesetc, or just send us a vote via Twitter, @issuesetc. Soundbite number 2 comes from Dr. Andrew Steinman. Here he is reacting to Paula White's comparison of President Donald Trump to Old Testament Queen Esther.
He's been raised up by God because God says that he raises up and places all people in places right. of authority. And so when you fight against the plan of God, you're fighting against the hand of God. Yeah. If the king asks you to stand up and to be in support of President Trump, it doesn't matter if people troll you, if people lie about you, if people hate on you, if people leave you, it doesn't matter. Because if God be for you, then who can be against you? Because God is looking for someone who will say yes to God's agenda, to the king's agenda.
The real problem here is the way she cherry picks the text. It reminds me of that game we used to play as kids. What does that cloud look like that you see up there? You know, and somebody thinks it looks like Abraham Lincoln and somebody else thinks it looks like George Washington. And when you're cherry-picking the text and saying, well, I'll do this and I'll ignore the rest of the text, all you're really doing is special pleading. There's no guarantee that we're going to prosper under Donald Trump. There's no guarantee that we're not going to prosper under Donald Trump. God has not revealed that to us in the scriptures, and that is our only reliable source of his revelation. And the one thing she said right was, no one has authority in this world without God granting it. So therefore, to obey the authorities under most circumstances is to obey God. But that does not mean we go almost as far as to idolize them by turning them into someone who has the complete authority of God.
That's soundbite number two, Dr. Andrew Steinman, reacting to Paula White's comparison of President Trump to Old Testament Esther. If you'd like to vote for that one, all you got to do is give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. We can take your votes at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or via Twitter, @issuesetc. Here's soundbite number three. It comes from Dr. Corey Moss of Hillsdale College. We were talking about the Reformation, how it's often misinterpreted in the past and the present. I asked, is he optimistic for the Reformation's 500th anniversary?
I got to be honest, I'm not terribly optimistic. And part of this, again, is historically informed. I mean, past anniversaries of the Reformation, especially big ones, nice round numbers, have tended to celebrate the Reformation for, you know, all the wrong reasons. So through the period of the Enlightenment and into the 19th century, we see these, you know, kind of Whiggish appropriations of Luther, the posting of the 95 Theses, the Reformation more generally, as, you know, kind of introducing the spirit of modern man and the modern world. So if the past is anything to go by, I would not be terribly surprised if the 500th simply kind of retrenches this idea that the Reformation was important, good or bad, for all sorts of reasons, very few of which have to do with the gospel.
That's soundbite number three, Dr. Corey Moss. Is he optimistic for the Reformation's 500th anniversary? Our call-in number to vote, 1-877-623-6943. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Get ready to vote, because here comes soundbite number four from Pastor Stephen Parks on the sufficiency of Jesus' work.
What I think is often missing both in Catholicism and in modern evangelicalism is the idea of the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sufficiency of his work accomplished on our behalf in his life and keeping the law perfectly in a way that you and I and nobody else could ever do, the sufficiency of his death, which according to the author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 7, forever perfects those for whom it was made. And as you go forward from there also, the notion that there needs to be something added to the work of Christ in some way, shape, or form, when in reality it's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves us from sin, that saves us from death, and that saves us from hell. The Reformation was all about the sufficiency of Christ's work. And when we recognize that what Christ accomplished, what he set out to do, namely redemption, then there's nothing that can possibly ever be added to it in any way. So whether our own sufferings in purgatory or our own works and sufferings in this life, none of those things contribute to the forgiveness of sins or life everlasting. Those things are given purely and only as a gift, and that because of the work of Christ, not our works.
That's soundbite number four, Pastor Stephen Parks on the sufficiency of Jesus' work. Those are the four soundbites. Now it's time for you to vote. This break is a great time to give us a call. Send us an email or tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll take your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week right after this.
I don't care if Monday's black, Tuesday, Wednesday, hard to tell, Thursday, next.
got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Terry Schmidt, director of LCMS School Ministry, with a prayer for Lutheran schools.
O Christ, our teacher, you invite your faithful people to make disciples in your name. Today we thank you for the gift of Lutheran schools, where the message of your life, death, and resurrection is proclaimed each day, where a Christian community is experienced, where knowledge is centered on and informed by God's holy word, and where we worship you each day. Increase our zeal for ensuring that all children and families who desire this opportunity may benefit from a high-quality Lutheran education, and that all of our schools grow in their ability to nurture the very soul of our nation. This we ask in the name of our risen Savior Jesus. Amen.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod School Ministry assists, equips, and uplifts school educators, district staff, education executives, and congregational leaders so that through them children may be equipped as disciples of Jesus Christ. Learn more at lcms.org/school ministry.
I know I'm wrong, and I'm going to give you the fact you got the vote. Everybody needs to vote.
It's time to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, live this Friday, August the 25th. We've played our four soundbites for you, and now it's time for you to vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Sending us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, tweet @issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Will it be soundbite number one, Joy Pullman, on how Antifa is different from the civil rights movement? Soundbite number two, Dr. Andrew Steinman, on Paula White's comparison of President Trump to Old Testament Esther. Soundbite number three, Dr. Corey Moss, is he optimistic for the Reformation's 500th anniversary? Or soundbite number four, Pastor Stephen Parks, on the sufficiency of Jesus' work. Let's go first to Roberta, listening in Riverside, California. Hi, Roberta.
Hi.
Which one are you voting for?
I would have to say Dr. Steinman, number two.
And why is that?
He said something that I totally agree with, and that is that the scriptures are where we get the authority to do anything that God wants us to do. So if we're thinking that so-and-so should be president, well, then we pray about it, and we know that we're supposed to submit to authority, and that's a good thing. And whoever wins, and most of the time we submit to them. But I like his picture of the clouds. I was born blind, but I can still see the picture of the two, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln in the cloud, and that's just somebody's guess. It's not the authority of Scripture, and the Word tells us what we need to do, how to do it, how to think. We need to know what Jesus says, and that's the important thing.
Roberta, thank you very much, and thanks for your vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-6943. Let's see, David is listening in Aurora, Illinois. He's voting for soundbite number two, Dr. Steinman. We live in a world where people idolize their leaders in government and even in the church. We have seen this with President Obama and Trump, and many examples of Pastor Chris Roseborough fighting for the faith brings to us. We need to teach people that the ultimate authority is Christ through his word, and leave awful theology in the church.
When it comes to the government, we need to trust in Christ to care for us, not some charismatic person. As the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 146, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. David, thanks for listening in Illinois. Another David voting for Pastor Park, soundbite number 4. He wins this week for me because of his clear proclamation of the gospel. Matt listens in Indiana. He's voting for soundbite number 1, Joy Pullman. This whole notion that violence and lawlessness for one side is okay and not for the other is very dangerous, as the prophet says, as the great prophet Mr. Migiag teaches us, karate is for defense only. Physical force is only justified when we are in physical defense posture. If convincing people that you're right is done by the sword and not by peaceful civil discourse, the public protest, the American experiment is all but doomed. Matt, thanks for listening in Indiana. In Illinois, Doug has a vote for soundbite number 4, Pastor Stephen Parks. Jesus kept the law for us. As believers, nothing needs to be added to Christ's redemptive work. Many churches miss the mark and require works to complete our salvation. We belong to not to a do church, but to a done church. Another vote for soundbite number 4. Pastor Park wins. His work trumps, that is, pun intended, every other temporal issue we face and guarantees us salvation. With our Lord trusting in his perfect life, death, and resurrection, there is no more important topic here and eternally. Lowell in Minnesota votes for soundbite number 2, Dr. Andrew Steinman. I always enjoy and appreciate it when people like Paul DeWitt and their teachings are explained or exposed, however one wants to look at it. This one comes from Chicago. Chris votes for Dr. Parks. He says, who cuts through any distractions to the core, Jesus and his finished work, obedience and sacrifice is enough for making a sinner acceptable to God, or is it Jesus plus something? In Arlington, Texas, Wesley is voting for soundbite number 4. Pastor Park's comment on the sufficiency of Christ was tops for me. He's always top of his game. I listened to his broadcast from years ago as supplements to my adult information instruction. Ken listens in Texas. He's voting for Pastor Stephen Parks as well. I'm a Reformed guy who fully affirms this soundbite. Thanks for listening in Texas. From Illinois, Paul's voting for soundbite number 1, Joy Pullman. She rightfully points out that the normal legal process is the channel one needs to use to effect change, as they did during the civil rights movement, not the thuggish violence antics of Antifa. And as always, all 4 were excellent. He listens via iTunes. In Minnesota, Lisa's voting for soundbite number 4. I never get tired of hearing how Christ's work on the cross is sufficient, and it is Christ and Christ alone who does the work. Jesus himself declared this when he said, "It is finished." You're quite right. Sonia listens in Crete, Illinois. I'm voting for soundbite number 3, Dr. Corey Moss's comments about the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. I would love this project to be wrong, but that's what he believes will happen. It will happen. To use internet speak, the Reformation is trending right now, and therefore there are many who want to be part of it, but have absolutely no understanding of what it is. They'll buy Luther trinkets and wear Luther t-shirts and attend Luther costume parties, but know nothing of Luther's exposition of salvation as a free gift of God. Sadly, this is not entirely unlike pop Christianity as a whole. Their members like being part of a movement. They like being spiritual. They like going through the motions of churchy things. And they, too, completely miss the mark of understanding salvation by grace through faith alone. Sonia, thank you very much. Gary is listening in Canada. He's voting for Pastor Stephen Park's soundbite number 4. He gets my vote because Christ is sufficient. Jesus' sacrifice brought a real change that is not just Catholics or evangelicals see as insufficient, but is what the world sees as insufficient. Our efforts to change things by force through our political system and even by commemoration of an anniversary like that of the Reformation are meaningless apart from Christ's sufficiency. This one comes from Dennis in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It says, the old Adam cannot reconcile himself to the truth that failure to keep God's law renders us eschatologically fodder for righteous judgment of a holy God with no hope of saving ourselves or contributing positive to our own salvation. Most radically countercultural, counterintuitive idea in history is that Jesus has done for us what we could never do for ourselves by his active obedience in keeping the whole law and his passive obedience in his bearing the curse for us and his death on the cross. He made complete and sufficient atonement for the full enormity of our sin. All forms of righteousness, synergism, whether the crass forms of pay to play, indulgence practiced during Luther's day, or more nuanced pietism and moral earnestness of broad evangelicalism today fail to comprehend the definitive nature of Christ's all-sufficient work. Dennis, thank you very much in Fort Wayne. And here's a vote from Matthew in Chelsea, Minnesota. A vote for Pastor Parks because he relays the absolute certainty that God gives to everyone and upon which we are beggars all need to cling every day. According to your votes, the winner this week is soundbite number 4, Pastor Stephen Parks, on the sufficiency of Jesus' work.
What I think is often missing both in Catholicism and in modern evangelicalism is the idea of the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sufficiency of his work accomplished on our behalf in his life and keeping the law perfectly in a way that you and I and nobody else could ever do, the sufficiency of his death, which according to the author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 7, forever perfects those for whom it was made. And as you go forward from there also, the notion that there needs to be something added to the work of Christ in some way, shape, or form, when in reality it's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves us from sin, that saves us from death, and that saves us from hell. The Reformation was all about the sufficiency of Christ's work. And when we recognize that what Christ accomplished, what he set out to do, namely redemption, then there's nothing that can possibly ever be added to it in any way. So whether our own sufferings in purgatory or our own works and sufferings in this life, none of those things contribute to the forgiveness of sins or life everlasting. Those things are given purely and only as a gift, and that because of the work of Christ, not our works.
That is the winner of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, according to your votes on this Friday afternoon. The LPR bundle package goes to Dennis, who listens in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dennis, if you'd send us your shirt size and your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you the LPR bundle package. We have a great list of speakers lined up for our fall Making the Case conference in Houston, Texas. Mark and Molly Hemingway, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris, Rod Dreher, and Dr. Scott Murray. Registration for the conference is $120 and includes 3 meals. Child care is free, courtesy of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. It's the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. When we come back from the break, we're going to be reviewing the movie Annabelle Creation with Pastor Ted Giese. When you're looking at a horror story that is, well, horrific in its details, but also plays upon the theme that many horror stories do as well. It's a theme of death, loss, and mourning. What does it do with it? We'll answer that question on the other side. Up next on Lutheran Talk Radio 24/7, a review of the movie Annabelle Creation. Listen at issuesetc.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.